He does, yeah. I sure am thankful that he does. Because I'm a part of the whole world. Oh, me. Tonight, I just want to turn to the book of Psalms and chapter 33. Psalms chapter 33. I'm going to be reading some verses over there in verse 32, but we need to just lift up the Lord tonight and just praise his holy name. And that's what it's all about. We shouldn't come to church expecting that individuals gonna be singing, and they're gonna be singing for the praise, anything like that. But we need to remember that anytime that we stand and open our mouth, that something from the Lord needs to come out of us. And where we can go about touching people and touching people's hearts. And not only the people outside of the door, but we need to be thinking about some things that God has done for us and everything. And we should be able to want to share it here at the church and share it among one another. And when we do that, I believe we become a better a witness for the Lord and a better Christian. And because we have forgiveness in our hearts when we can do them things. But we need to just remember that he is the one that has forgiven us. We have nothing to forgive him for, because he's done it all for us. And I'm so thankful that he forgave me of the things that I done and I done wrong. And I just love him tonight. Is anyone just want to just get up and just say something for the Lord, just to praise his name and just let him know that you love him?
I want to thank the Lord for saving my love and soul. I thank him each day that he gives me, gets me up in the morning, and he's with me when I go to bed at night time and all through the day. And I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't accepted him as my Savior, because I know I was going down the wrong path. But I know I'm not where I need to be, but I'm not where I used to be.
Amen. And anyone else?
Thank the Lord for saving me too. He was saving me. He always comes through just on time. I just can't praise him enough. We used to sing one of the choir. Just can't thank him enough. Can't praise him enough for what he's done for me. And I can. Have a million years. We wouldn't have time enough to praise him for what he does for us. I know I failed him many times. And I pray every day for them, and the ones that's lost, and I pray for the ones that's sick, and I want to see Billy feeling good. I'd love to see Jim feeling good. And I'd rather take the pain than for them to take it. And y'all just help me pray for that I'll be a better Christian.
Amen.
I want to help others. Well, I said when I retired, I was going to volunteer and go to the nursing home, cheer those people up and get out more and witness to people. It looked like I've been held back a little bit, but I still plan on it if it's God's will. I'm happy to be able to do that.
Amen. It's good. Anybody else? Anyone else?
God's been good to us. Thank the Lord for that.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord for saving me and dying on the cross for all our sins.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Short, sweet, and right to the core of the truth. But anyone else? And if not, we're going to start reading over in verse 33, then we'll go into verse 32, then we'll go into verse 33. Unless somebody else wants to stand or speak out, one or the other. Okay. Amen. Amen.
Thank the Lord for saving me, and I want to thank him also for this past week. We've had some great preaching this week, and it's just tied in with everything else that looked like. I just want to thank the Lord.
Amen. I mean, after what we've heard the past week, I mean, I kind of, I feel like I don't even need to be up here anymore. But not only that, I know that he sent each and every one of them my way. I don't believe that I was one of them that came and I asked to come, and I asked them to come and be a part of it. That just come and God wasn't in it. God was in it. He really was. He started, I think he started 2 or 3 months ago, maybe longer than that. But I tell you, now last week now, I mean not this past week, but week before, and I don't know why it is, but you know, we all, it's always in the back of our minds, we have doubt. And it's there. And when it's there, we have a tendency just to pick it up. And it just kind of gnaws at us. It kind of want to eat away at us. But you know, I hadn't been able to, just like I told Brother Jim Reeves, I told him, the first part, the Monday night when he first come, I said, Brother Jim, you're a hard man to get in touch with. I says, I've been trying for 2 months to get in touch with you. And he said, well, what for? I said, well, I just want to touch base with you and see if you're still able to come. Well, he said, well, I returned your call. I said, well, I didn't get it, which I don't, you know, I didn't see it on the answer machine. I didn't see it on my cell phone or anything like that. But, you know, I was really concerned about it because I wanted everything to go the way God had planned it. And I didn't want no preacher left out that God wanted here. And I knew when I invited Brother Jim Reeves to come and preach Wednesday night that he was feeble and but he wasn't able to walk all that well and everything. But you know, the Lord has placed in my heart the men of God I hear that has stood the test of time in the past and have preached the truth all these years and stood the ground that God had called them. And it just, I don't know, I don't want it to sound like I'm feeling sorry, because I'm not, but I do feel like they just been put out to pasture. Like that, you know, they preached 30 and 40 and 50 years. But you know what? God did not call them and speak to them and ask them to serve Him and to preach His word for them to be put out in the pasture. They need to be lifted up, and they need to be to the point that, hey, you've got something else that you can offer. That's one reason I have, I mean, the preachers that I try to have that come in and especially fill in for me or something like that, that they're not pastoring a church nowhere. Because I feel like that's my obligation to help them. Because I know some of them says, I know I'll never get to preach anymore. I don't never want them to feel that way, because I felt that way a long time myself. You can ask Shelby, you can ask my daughter both. But there was a time that I had doubt if I'd ever be able to stand and read the Word of God to people. And when you get in that state, and when your mind gets to that, and when you're thinking about it and everything, it kind of leaves a void in your life. and you don't know how to fill it. You don't know how to fill it except for do what you know you need to do. I've said this, and I've had preachers tell me, you shouldn't say it that way because you don't know. But I've said this all the time, that if there's a preacher that's been called of God, preaching the King James Bible, preaching the truth to people as they are, that I believe it doesn't make no difference what type of church it is, but I believe that the Lord wants you to preach. That's what He's called you to do. And when God called me to preach, He just didn't call me to preach and say, well, now I want you to just preach in an independent, fundamental Baptist church. I want you to preach. Because see, that's what Jesus done. And anybody that wants to preach, I think the Lord opened a way for them. I know sometimes we get so stubborn and hard-headed, we don't want to, well, I don't want to go over there. That's a Methodist church. I don't want to go over there because it's a Southern Baptist. I don't want to go over there because that's a Pentecostal. But each and every one of them needs the truth. They need the truth as the way it's written. And they need somebody to tell them the truth. Don't sugarcoat it. Just because you're up here behind the pulpit, just don't sugarcoat it. Just don't take that sin and wrap it up in a bow and place a red rose on it. Tell it like it is. They need the gospel. And I know where the Independent Baptist Church come from. I know where it come out of. It come out of the Southern Baptist. Years ago, it come out among the Southern Baptist Church. And it's where the Southern Baptists had got away from the truth, had got away from telling people about this sin of this world and the sin that they commit. You know, if I don't get up here and if I don't preach on sin, and if I don't preach on love, then what am I doing up here? Because me just standing and preaching a little sermonette saying that, God is going to be so good to us this week. He's not going to let us down. We don't have to worry about anything. Everything's going to be just fine. That's good. And He is. He's not going to let us down. That's what we know. We know that to be a fact. He's not going to let us down. But we need to also tell Him, we don't want to let you down, Lord. But here in chapter 32 in the book of Psalms, it says in verse 5, it says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin saileth. And chapter 33 and verse 1 says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harps. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. His earth is full of goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth. He gaveth the water of that sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depths in his storehouse. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake as it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathens to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thought of his heart to all generations. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. And the people from he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh on from heaven, and he beholdeth all sons of men from the place of his habitation. He looketh upon the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their heart alike. He considereth all their work. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host, and mighty men is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. O soul, waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Our Father, tonight we thank you for the reading of thy word. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you just speak to my heart. And Father, that you will just allow me to be able to stand and open it. And Father, that you can speak through it. And Father, we just thank you for the people that come out tonight. Now we ask, Lord Jesus, that you may bless their hearts. And bless my heart also, Father. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And amen. We see right here in verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. I sure am glad that I wasn't looking at of what I would gain. I'm so glad that I wasn't looking at the inheritance that God had for me. I'm so glad that I wasn't looking for the things that heaven would offer. I am thankful that I myself knew with a shadow of a doubt that I needed something in my life that I did not have. And after I realized that, that's when the Holy Spirit started convicting me of my sin. And that's when the Holy Spirit started speaking to me and revealing to me some truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when I accepted the Lord as my Savior, and He came into my heart, and He took up that abode within me, I'm so glad that that's when I realized through the reading of His Word and studying His Word, I realized that He had an inheritance for me. Just like all the other people I hear, He has an inheritance for them. He has something special in plan for them. He has something special planned for my life that I did not know anything about. But I had to trust Him. I had to have enough faith in Him. And I had to have enough faith in His Word that I've just read to you. That the Word would reveal unto me what He wants me to do. And it wasn't until I really got in the Word, it wasn't really when I, until I got in there and started studying and started reading it and started meditating on it and everything, and then going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and all during the week for revival and all of that, and going to other churches and everything going around. It wasn't until then when the Holy Spirit started speaking to me about doing something special for God. You know, we all have a talent. We all have something special within our grasp that we can do for the Lord. You say, "Preacher, what is so special about me that the Lord can allow me to do something?" We never know what it is. The only way we'll ever know is when we go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I love You. But I just feel so helpless now because I'm not doing anything for You. I'm coming to church and I'm being faithful to the church. And I study and I pray and I read and I study and I pray and I read. But I don't have nothing special to do." He wants us to realize that yes, it's a special job. It's a special work that He has for each and every one of us. Some things that you can do that I cannot do. There's some things that I may can do that you can't do. But He always has something special for the child of God to do something. And I have no idea what it is for your life. I mean, I've been praying for so long that I can be able to just take that keyboard I got at the house and just pull that keyboard down and set it down in front of me. And I can take my fingers and put them on the keys. And the Lord will take over. And I could play the keyboard. Or I could play the guitar. Play something. I would love to be able to play the piano. I would love to be able to play the keyboard. I would be able to love to come to church and say, as soon as Bill gets over his surgery and everything, the way he can come up here and he can start back leading the singing. But as he's leading the singing, I mean, and I know it's one act that says it ain't never happened. Yeah, I know it's you. There's nothing impossible. Nothing impossible with God. Only thing God wants me to do, He wants me to be faithful unto Him. And He has something else special for me to do. I have no idea what it is. But it would tickle my soul. I would be so happy. I mean, I know that I'm doing what God wants me to do now. Trying to teach His word and trying to preach. I know that. But that's just one or two things that He has special for me to do. But I want other things that what I can do. What I can do for Him. Because we have too many people that is in the churches that won't do. Just like one night me and Sister Teresa was talking. And I told her, I says, well, I didn't tell her, I asked her. I said, you just pray for us. I said, we need a piano player real bad. Because I think, I really did, this is my thought on it. It's what I believe. That music is essential in God's house. And I think when we're up here singing, and I think when we have a piano player that can play the music, and we can sing the songs of Zion, it prepares the individual's heart. It prepares our heart, it softens our heart. It'll take that cold heart. It'll take that hardened heart that we may have. That bitterness that we may have towards somebody else. And it will cause us just to listen to God a little closer. I would love to be able to come in here, really. Brother Bill, get up here and start leading the singing. Brother Bill, he looked over to me and he said, preacher, we're going to be singing 465. We're going to be singing this or that. Then I can just be able to take and put my fingers right on the keyboard, right on the keys of the piano. And the Lord can take these fingers and He could do what no teacher, what nobody else could ever do for me. The Lord can do that. I know He can do that. I don't know why He hasn't done it, but I tell you, that's one thing that I've really wanted to do for a long time, is to be able to play the piano. But I reckon it's because I'm just deaf. I mean, the tone, when I hear a song, I can't pick out the notes. I can't pick out what this note is saying and what this note is saying. I like to be able just to go in and just start playing it. Not even have a song book, not even have no books up at all. I would just love to be playing it. See, that's something special that God has. Not only for me, but He has it for so many other people. And just like Sister Teresa told me, she says, people don't really know what they're really doing. When they know that that they can get up there and they can play the piano. But some of them, they're scared of getting back into it. Why? Because somebody else in the past, when they was playing, made some off-the-cuff remarks about the way that they need to be playing. I say this, if it's an individual that gets over there and plays their piano, and starts playing that piano, and then all of a sudden, a note there, they play the note, and that note is nowhere even be found around that verse of scripture. I mean, that verse of a psalm. But we should not look at them and say, you messed up. We should not say into our heart, they messed up. Well, they didn't mess up because they're doing more than I'm doing. At least they're up here trying. I believe it was Caleb one night, this past week. He said that something about playing the piano, he'd love to be able to play the piano. I don't know if he's taking piano lessons, I don't know. But, and I said, well, I would too. I said, I'd love for you to play. I said, one thing about it though, when you start playing, you better tell your mama and your daddy. There's going to be a time that I'm not going to be able to go to church with them anymore. But they're going to have to come down here if they want to see their boy on Sunday morning, or Sunday night, or Wednesday night. Because he's going to be here playing the piano. Is that impossible? No. Nothing is impossible with God. How excellent is thy loving kindness of God. Therefore the children of men put thy trust under the shadow of thy wing. That's in chapter 36. Verse 8 says, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make thou drink of the river of thy pleasure. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in the heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. Back to chapter 33. Verse 10 says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathens to naught. He maketh the device of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. No one else chooses us for the inheritance of God. But we know that we can have the inheritance of God, and he will give it to us when we go home. He promises us through His Word. He promises us for His inheritance. Of everything that He's ever done, He's promised us that. And He does not go back on no promise. Because when God calls it, it's going to come about. When God tells us that He's going to do something for us, He's going to do it. He may not do it today. He may not do it tomorrow, but He will do it. He will do it. Why? Because He is God. He is all truth. He's all-knowing God. He's all-powerful God. He's everywhere. He is so knowledgeable of us that we cannot even understand it. He knows exactly what we can do. We don't think we can do anything. When it comes down to the point of it. Because I run from Him for a year, almost a year, when He was talking to me and speaking to me about preaching. I run from Him. I said, God, not me. You don't want me. I cannot preach. I cannot keep people's attention. I quit high school when I was went to the 10 and a half grade. I quit school because I couldn't stand up among the peers of the class that I was attending, and when I had to stand there and read an oral report. God, You knew I couldn't do it. And I couldn't do it. I just told a teacher one time, I said, just go and give me an F because I can't do it. I can't stand up there. See, I won't reveal anything that He didn't know. It's nothing that I can reveal to Him today that He does not know. He knows everything. He knows the very thought that is in my heart and where will go to my brain. And a whole lot of times when He does it, I don't know if any of y'all do this. I don't, probably not. And I pray you don't. But there's a whole lot of times when I'm speaking to someone, or when I'm just talking, I know what my heart says to do. But a whole lot of times, I just put that tongue that's right in the middle of my mouth. I take it and I just pull it on back down to high gear. And stuff comes out of that the mind don't even know what to even think. Because I engage the tongue before I engage the brain. We must think about, and I must think about, what I need to say next, because what I say, it cannot be taken back. It cannot be taken back. But the inheritance, He has chosen us. He's chosen you to receive His inheritance. He's chosen me to receive His inheritance. He didn't say to where He said He chose me or He chose you. Says, well, Brother Bill, I've chosen you now. And you're going to have a certain portion of inheritance. You're going to have the inheritance of this. Then it says something to someone else. He said, Sister Irma, you're going to have a portion of my inheritance. He don't say anything about a portion. Chosen for his own inheritance. He has chosen us to receive his inheritance. He wants to share with us his wealth. He wants to share with us his knowledge. He wants to share with us everything that he's ever done. He just wants to share it with us. And one of these days, I know the verse of scripture says, oh, it says over there in the latter part of chapter 20 and 21 in John, where it says that when he was hanging there on the cross, he told the Father, he says, it's finished. It is finished now. You know when it's going to be finished? You know when the nail is going to be put in the coffin? You want to know when it's going to be finished? It's going to be finished when he calls us home. That's when it's going to be finished. Because see, he still has a work for us to do. He's finished his work. But his work is still going on today through us. Father, we thank you. And Lord Jesus, that you may just be with us as we leave this sanctuary this evening. And Father, as we leave and we leave the presence of your chosen people, the ones that are saved. And Father, as we are dismissed from this service today, that we know that we will never be dismissed from you and your love. And Father, and we know that we're not dismissed from each other's love here, but yet, Father, we will not see them some until another time. I don't know when that will be. It may be tomorrow, it may be next day. But Father, I do ask, Lord Jesus, that you would just take us, mold us, create us into something that you would be prayerful of, that you would be proud of. And that's not speaking about the proud that the Bible is speaking about. Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that you are a God of everything. You are closer to us than some of our own family. And Father, that shouldn't be. Our family should be just as close to you as we are. Now, Father, as we leave the sanctuary tonight, go with us, lead, guide, and direct us. And Father, help us to just share your love toward people. that people can see something in your life starting this week, starting from right now on, that yet they knew that they went to church, yet they knew that they were saved, yet they knew that they was going to heaven, and yet they've also told them how to get saved. But Father, we pray that you'll put something in the individual's heart. Would be like a magnet that would draw that sinner to them, where you can tell them about Jesus, and Jesus can also draw them to you, Father. Father, we love you, and we thank you for what you've done this day and what you've done this past week. We know this past week is gone. We know that today is about done. But Father, we know that you're not through with us. And Lord, we just want to thank you and love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.